everybody.
Happy Wednesday.
Yes, Robert noting that it's a far more attractive Kevin Wheeler today. Kev is in hell right now because he is in a waiting room waiting for his car to get fixed. So he's going to be an hour or so late. And so we couldn't just leave the stream empty. So we got the Grandma Glover doll, and she's holding down the fort. She'll be doing Stairway to Kevin.
She's going to do a great job.
Yeah. She looks stoic. Mm-hmm. She looks like she's prepared.
She looks like she's just about to burst into conversation at any second.
Yeah. Like all of us.
Hang on.
Uh-oh.
I will say, I was watching you situate the doll before the show.
Yeah.
More concentration put into that than a lot of things, I would say.
Yeah.
A lot of, I don't think the stream is working. Is it working now?
It's working now.
Okay.
Was now it not working?
Yes.
Oh. How did Robert see it then?
He could see it. It's just we didn't have sound. There's a certain setting we have to have on Kevin's computer.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
So Kevin's just decking this whole thing up.
I mean, I don't want to blame it all on Kevin, but it's definitely 100% his fault.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it.
I would also like to remind everyone in the audience that we have the day off on this show tomorrow, and he chose to do this big giant car repair thing.
What an excellent point.
Today.
I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Irresponsible is the word.
I think that's the word I would use.
Non-team player.
Yes.
Selfish.
Yes.
You got any more?
No, I'm good.
Okay, good. So you don't want to go to your concert this weekend?
Not really, man. So it's tomorrow. So we're getting on the train tomorrow morning. Going up. Ubering all the way to the hotel. Dropping off our garbage, Ubering all the way back to Wrigley Field.
Is it as hot there as it is here?
It is as hot there as it is here.
Did you see that they just called a concert in D.C. because of the heat?
It was this concert.
Oh.
It was actually this exact group that I'm going to see.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they...
So they're a little, not very heat resistant, these boys.
These kiddos. Fingers crossed that happens.
Oh, really? So you'd be okay with that?
I would.
Just chill in the hotel room?
Thrilled if that happens. Find a nice place for dinner. Go to.
Are you not a fan as Megan is of this band?
Go to Lou Malnati's. No, I'm not a fan. So I don't like K-pop. Now, I've talked before.
What?
I know, right? I like BTS. I like most of their songs. I think they have good songs. I think they are talented gentlemen. But I can't really get down with like 90% of the rest of them. And this falls under that. So it's going to be a struggle watching 3 hours of them with all the screaming and flashing lights. And they all have these things called light sticks, of which, of course, my wife had to purchase one as well. And what they are is they are sticks with a little orb on the end, and they flash very brightly.
Sounds like hell.
Does sound like hell, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It sounds a bit like hell. It's going to be roughly that hot.
You may need a version of the screen divorce. Have you heard this? It's the new Gen Z term for something that already exists.
Is this just when I leave my wife?
It's when you and your significant other don't want to participate in the same thing at the same time. Typically, like, I'm going to watch this show on television. Oh, I'm just going to do a puzzle on my iPad, whatever.
Oh, well,
it
then we are already screen divorced.
Okay.
Yeah, she has her own computer and a nice pair of noise-canceling headphones, and then she watches her shows and stuff most nights while I play video games and watch stuff on my iPad.
Don't you think that that's the rule? Like, it's a little creepy if a couple just do everything at the same time, all the time?
Well, from somebody who spent the first couple of years of his relationship doing everything at the same time with the person that I was with, just because we had no choice generally.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, were very broke and lived in a one-room apartment and, you know, all that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that everybody deals with.
Mm-hmm.
You end up getting sick of that person. Like, eventually, you know, we would get in these little tiffs and arguments, and we would be like, what are we even arguing about? And then we kind of realized, like, oh, it's because we're spending literally 24, because for a while, again, also, like, neither of us had jobs for a brief period and stuff, so it's like, we're just spending all day, every day, sitting directly next to one another. And, like, that can get tough on anybody, you know? That can get old for
you. You're living the hobo life.
We were, and so that can get difficult for anybody. I very much am support. I wouldn't call it screen divorced because I still feel very close and loving to my beautiful, wonderful wife. But enjoy some separate hobbies. I guess I'm getting at.
Don't you think that the healthiest relationships are the ones where, like, you're spending time in the same space but not doing exactly the same thing? I mean, I think that's healthy.
I've always felt like it's healthy.
Like, you can be on the same couch at the same time doing two different things but enjoying each other's company.
I've never felt apart or separated from her while she's doing her thing and I'm doing mine.
That's all I had for the show.
All right. Screen divorce.
That's it. You heard it here first, folks. Me and my wife are divorced in a way.
Just thinking about how much... what a crazy amount of trust we have in so many things. For example, we just go out and we just eat at restaurants willy-nilly. And we have no real idea what's happening in the back of that house. Like, no idea. Mm-hmm. And then, like, driving. Driving is an insane endeavor. Going 80 miles an hour straight at another car with just, like, 10 feet between you.
Having no idea who's in that car.
No.
What their mental state is.
How do any of us survive any rides home?
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying that, and it's really crazy whenever you pay attention and see how many people are looking down at their phones. I mean, it just feels like sheer luck that more bad things don't happen.
So, New York City about to elect a socialist mayor, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how's that hit you as my socialist?
I like it. I mean, I think it's very good. I think he'll do a good job as the mayor. It's a good experiment. It's also a huge victory for people that are closer to my way of thinking politically.
Mm-hmm.
To have the arguably biggest, most important city in the world be run by somebody who identifies pretty far left politically.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big deal. I think it's a statement also for what people are more ready for and more interested in. Now, I will say I don't think he was running against the strongest candidates.
No.
He was running against some guy named Brad, who I had never heard of before last night because I don't live in New York.
Brad.
And he was running against Andrew Cuomo, an already ousted unsuccessful mayor that everybody hated
governor.
By the time he left. Governor, sorry. That everybody hated by the time he left. And I don't think Andrew Cuomo was a strong candidate by any stretch. So, you know.
Man, people are racist, though.
Yes.
What do you mean?
All over Twitter, people are like, he's Muslim. We're going to have another 25 years ago, there was 9/11, and you just elected a Muslim. It's like, I actually fail to see how those two things are related in any way, and you have problems, you should seek help.
Do you guys think, in your heart of hearts, in your brain of brains, that we really have made progress when it comes to that kind of stuff, or have we just said it less to fewer people?
I think... normal people have made progress, and then there are people who are never gonna like let go of their backwards thinking.
I think normal people saying it less is progress because that means that you're thinking, you know what I mean? It's like you are. I think there has been some success going like, oh, that thing that I was doing that I never really thought twice about because I'm just some, you know, random dumb Midwestern white guy. That's pretty racist. I should stop doing that. That is the progress, you know, that you seek. But there are also a large amount of people who are extremely racist and you're never going to get through to them. I'm not sure there is getting through to them. I think the people who are living in, you know, Kentucky, Arkansas, wherever, and they're upset about that there could be a Muslim running a city that they'll never go to, 1,500 miles away from them. I think those people are never going to change.
Jamie just said, I just realized how quiet it is when Kevin is gone.
Yeah, it is.
We did a podcast for you tomorrow, which will drop about 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. without Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's really good. It's a lot funnier than this. But we kind of like Kevin screwed us. He should have gone to the car dealership tomorrow. And then we used all of our good show prep on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're just here with our you-know-what in our hands. Wait for him to get here and start talking.
We were ready for wheels to take the wheel.
Yeah, Grandma's offering very little today.
We should all leave when he gets here. You know what, though? He's Kevin. That wouldn't even bother him.
No.
He'd be like, all right, sounds good.
He just finished out the show.
Sounds good.
Welcome back, DGS KMOX. Wheels is on his way. But I think we're going to stick with Grandma Glover.
Okay, yeah. He could sit in, like, the other chair, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. You can do that. I hate to generalize. Actually, that's not true. I'd love to generalize. But it's not popular to generalize a people. But I'm going to do that now and restoke my war with bicyclists.
Okay.
And here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If you meet me and I'm the biggest D that you've ever met and you go, like, radio people. You know, it's not fair to Andrew and Rachel, but I understand why you're doing it. When you have really bad examples of a group of people. And last night, I'm driving home, and I'm going down a residential but busy street, two-way traffic, and this a-hole on a bike is lane splitting, okay? Mm-hmm. If you don't know what that is, they do it on motorcycles sometimes. You're an idiot if you do it, but you just ride between the cars. And this, you could tell this guy was not a great rider because he's coming really close to the cars. And that's bad enough. But then when we would get to an area, and he's not getting on a sidewalk. So he is in a lane, taking up a lane with cars waiting on him. He's not moving. But then when it comes to a red light, he blows it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is like, police your own people. I'll take care of the radio people. You take care of your fellow bikers. That is a-hole behavior. You could easily get someone hurt, and it drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not fair when it's like, I'm a part of the road, just like you. You must obey all traffic laws when it comes to me. Oh, except when there's a red light, yeah. I'm going to go because I'm on a bike. It's like, well, which one is it? Are we all obeying the same traffic laws, or are you like a special little boy who gets to do whatever he wants?
I think they're special little boys.
Not cool.
No. And I also have to make fun of you when you dress like you're in the Tour de France.
I thought you were talking to me because you locked eyes with me, as you said. And I also have to make fun of you.
And now I'm
going to
make fun of Rachel's outfit.
He was going to make fun of.
Another black t-shirt and jeans, huh? Real original. I like your jersey, Dave, speaking of outfit.
Thanks.
Man, I think he found your look.
Jerseys?
The baseball jerseys and kind of shirzies.
Hmm.
It's a good look for you. It fits.
Phoebe and I are going to the game tonight and sitting in the front row of Big Mac Land. That should be nice and toasty.
Fun.
And in the second inning, if you're there, look for us because we're going to be featured on the big screen in Big Mac Land.
Hmm.
Yeah, I get to like hold up a Big Mac or something.
Cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, like a real Big Mac?
No, like a big giant paper cutout Big Mac.
Oh.
Yeah.
Visibly disappointed that you don't get to hold off a big hamburger.
But this will be the second time Phoebe and I have been on a big screen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, on the Jumbotron.
That was so cool when you were on KU, right?
Yeah, that was really cool. That was really, really cool. I'm sort of becoming obsessed with the TikToks of people doing the 52-hour Chicago to San Francisco Amtrak.
Nice.
Now that I've been on the Amtrak.
Yeah, that's fun. There's a lot of YouTube, like long-form YouTube videos about that, too, you should check out.
I would like to go a little nicer than that. Like, if I'm going to do something like that, that's going to be, like, a bucket list thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks a little, like, I've been on the Amtrak, been in the business class. I've seen videos of, like, the sleepers and things like that. And they're fine, totally fine. I had a great time. If I'm going to Chicago, I'm going business class on Amtrak, totally cool. But if I'm spending days...
Yeah, you want to get like at least a sleeper
luxury
car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like the regular sleepers, like I would be fine with it, but I could see why you would want something a bit fancier.
What would your young bucket list thing be right now?
Mm-hmm.
Something that is attainable. Like probably Japan was one of those things and now you've done it.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got?
I mean, I would love to climb Mount Fuji in Japan. That's kind of a goal of mine to do that before I turn 40.
Is that difficult to do from a legal standpoint? Can you just do it?
Oh, yeah, you can just do it.
Okay, for some reason, I'm thinking like you had to like apply and get, you know.
No. I think you can I think people climb like half of it and spend the night in like a hut and then finish it. I think some people can do it in one day.
Yeah.
I watched a video of a person who did it and was they were taking smoke breaks as they were climbing it, so it can't be too terribly difficult. But yeah, that would be really cool. And then here in the United States, I mean, I've still, speaking of New York City and their new Democratic Socialist mayor, like, I've still never been to New York City. Like, that's definitely on the list of something I need to have checked off in the next couple of years.
Yeah. Andrew, anything besides seeing this Korean boy band?
Really excited to go see Stray Kids tomorrow.
I keep thinking their name is the Crazy Boys.
The Wild Men. Machu Picchu is my kind of dream bucket list place.
My dad climbed that.
I would very, very much love to do that. It's not that, I mean, if I can get my big butt to Peru, it's not that hard to do.
I think it's pretty difficult. It's like a several day long thing.
Not anymore. They have a bus that can take you right up to it now.
Well, there you go.
It used to involve like llamas and a bunch of walking. Like if your dad did it a couple decades ago, it's definitely like a lot more.
He did it in his early 50s, I think.
A lot more difficult than it is now where they just have like a big bus that everybody gets on and it takes you almost like right up to Machu Picchu.
Maybe
itself.
You wouldn't even have to get out of the bus.
Maybe I could just look from the bus.
Hey, man, I'll just Google it and it's like I'm there, you know?
I see it.
There it is.
And then here in the States, I'm going to Oregon in the like Christmas time.
You said that weird, like Oregon.
Oregon. I'm going to Oregon in the Christmas time. And I'm very excited for that. I've always wanted to see the Pacific Northwest. The west side of the country is just wonderful to me.
I want
to
see the
Northwest, the Southwest. That would be great. I don't think we're going to be able to make the Redwoods because I think that's still a few hours.
Yeah,
like,
I was very close to them once when I was in Northern California, but didn't actually make it.
Ooh, D says, I was a sleeping car attendant for 15 years for Amtrak.
Dream job.
That's
get
cool.
A deluxe sleeper if you can.
We got to interview D.
Yeah, thank you, D. DG. DG.
That's you.
DS, perhaps.
That's
I
you.
I don't know.
Dave's typing.
We're both DGs.
Dave's typing under DG.
We're in the DG club. Yeah.
Dave sure looks handsome today.
I'm just reading.
Yeah,
I'm just,
I know. It's like dead silence. We all read the comments.
We're just reading your comments now.
We know how to do a radio show, people. I mean, I don't know what
Lord,
to tell you.
Opening the show never disappoints. Haven't heard a word y'all said about traveling. Can't stop looking at the stuffy version of Wheeler.
You would think with three of us, there would be some redundancy that if like two of them look at the comments, one of them will keep talking. But we all stopped and just went,
we're like, oh, what did Corey say?
No.
Corey's weighing in.
All bets are off.
Cindy also wants to go to Machu Picchu.
Just a small town girl. Living in a lonely
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM. KMOX. Wheeler is with us. Grandma Glover has moved one seat to the left, so she's still hanging out. She's good.
Yeah.
She says very little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
well,
she
it's my perfect counterpoint.
Looks. Yes, yeah.
It's balance.
The two of you together are a perfect broadcaster.
it's balance.
Hardball-style debate show.
You're wrong.
So rough
Silence.
Morning?
Nah, I wouldn't say rough, just long. You know, car repairs don't always go super fast, and it was not a basic thing. It wasn't an oil change or anything like that.
Yeah.
Had to get a new transmission control module.
How do you pass your time in situations like that? Yeah.
Thank God for cell phones. For all the times we talk about, you know, I'm on my phone too much or that's not good. Man, what would I have done if I had to do that 25 years ago?
Yeah, if you just got to sit and stare.
I'm going to be sitting there watching whatever lame TV show is on, reading a newspaper.
Reading Ranger Rick magazine.
Highlights magazine. Yeah. There probably would be like a Sports Illustrated in there from like 4 years before.
Yeah.
That's how all the doctor's offices are. You get the old ones.
God, I would probably poop my pants if I read a Highlights magazine because I loved them, but it was always at the dentist office. And it was always that weird, sweet smell of whatever someone was getting in an exam room and the sound of a drill and just like so stomach upset and bleh.
Yeah.
Speaking of Grandma Glover, she really screwed me over one time in my life. And for someone who would make me go get in the bathtub, if someone called, I didn't want to talk to him. I'm like, tell me in the bathtub. She's like, you go get in the bathtub. I don't lie. I never lie. And she told a whopper this time, which I understand coming as a parent, but I was going to the dentist and she said, it's just a checkup. And I'm like, you swear to God, it's a checkup. She said, just a checkup. And when I got there, they pulled like six of my teeth. And I
Your baby teeth?
No, regular teeth.
Oh?
Yeah. Well, I don't know because I was really young.
They'd have to be your baby teeth if they grew back.
Yeah. Well, I think they took some of my teeth because I have a really tiny mouth and it was overcrowding.
Oh.
So I think it was, yeah. Okay. So I'm not sure, but I had to have a bunch of teeth pulled.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
My niece Blair has recently lost her first teeth.
Mm.
Actually, I think her two bottom teeth are the teeth that are
gone. How's she reacting to that?
She's doing fine. She loves the tooth fairy.
It's the weirdest thing, isn't it, when you have a loose tooth?
I loved it. I treasured having a loose tooth. But
just
I'm a
play
freak.
With it?
Yes, I would just play with it. Sometimes I would lose the tooth, and then I would still be able to fit the tooth back into whence it came.
Oh!
Yeah, I had like problems. I was way too into the loose teeth.
Did anybody do a door or similar effect?
Never did. I kind of wish I had, just for the story.
Yeah, I did it.
Which one did you do?
One of these bottom ones.
No, I mean what?
Oh, a door.
The door?
Yeah.
And was it painless?
No.
No?
No, it hurt very much. But it was fast, you know, because it was violent.
I had the one, it was not the middle, the big, you know, the big buck teeth in the middle. It was the ones next to that.
Yeah.
Where when it was almost ready to come out, I could turn it backwards.
Oh. Yeah. Twirl it around. Give it a twirl.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I'm a freak too, and I used to play with them too, but it's just like.
How can you not? There's something loose in your mouth that's like not normal. Mm-hmm. You're not, you know.
Yeah.
But the tooth fairy is paying quite well these days.
Yeah, what's she packing?
I feel like she got like $20 or something crazy.
That is some
per tooth.
That is some inflation.
I think for the two teeth, but still, $10.
Okay,
bucks
so $10 a tooth is a little bit more reasonable.
You can have my teeth now for $10.
I know, man.
Dang,
that's all. Yeah, that's some inflation right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like 25 cents when I was a kid.
Tooth fairy's got to take a second job.
Kev, you had a question for Lawyer Dave?
I do have a question for Lawyer Dave. So. And it relates to the Sean Combs trial. So it seems weird slash bad to me that the defense rested in 30 minutes without calling a witness. Is that weird? Is that normal? Like Lawyer Dave?
It's a move. It's a move.
You think it's just a move? Like they got nothing? Boom, see ya?
Yeah.
I got you.
Because what could they possibly have that would help? And so it's a move. It's dismissive.
So it's like fake confidence.
It's like all that crap you just heard for 6 weeks, a whole bunch of nothing. We're not even going to dignify it with a response. We rest.
Does that work?
No.
I was going to say, that doesn't seem.
The ins and outs of the law, but I would not be shocked to see him walk because he is definitely guilty of a whole bunch of state crimes. You know, the things that he did to people, especially women, are state crimes.
Mm.
But he's charged with racketeering, basically. And so I don't know the ins and outs of what the standard of the burden of proof is for that, what you have to show. But I imagine he'll be found guilty of something, but I wouldn't be completely shocked if he walked.
I couldn't tell just by reading the way it was put whether that's just like a false bravado, well, we don't want to put any witnesses up there because it's not going to go well, so we're just going to do this and make it seem like we're flexing.
Who knows, but I think that's exactly right.
Okay.
I think that's typically what happens.
Because it wouldn't be very bright if you're like, well, can't beat that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that's the thought process.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been paying, you know, some attention to this case. It's not like I'm following every minute. I think that Sean Combs is obviously a terrible person, but I've seen a lot of online discourse like surrounding the fact that I don't know if they proved that he trafficked anyone. Like, that's kind of a high standard.
Right.
He is a very abusive, awful person, but I don't know if it reached the level of, what he's being accused of. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah.
The real story to me is his defense team. And I get that this is what a defense team does. They try to dismantle the story of the victim or whoever's making the accusation. But just the things like his ex-girlfriend Cassie is sharing her story. The truth of the matter is a lot of things can happen in the context of a relationship. It's never cut and dry like, hey, 100% it was this bad thing and everyone, and I was the perfect victim. I behaved in a way like beyond any shadow of a doubt. It usually doesn't happen like
right.
that.
It's usually messy.
Yeah, but to see it play out in court, like, oh, so you still had sex with him after this. It's like, well, they were in a relationship. She was probably financially dependent on him. And there's a lot of things at play. I don't know. It was just like disturbing to me to see that play out in a courtroom, like the victim blaming.
Yeah, it's become less effective. I mean, back when I was doing it and before that, it was a layup.
Oh, man. Yeah.
If you had, we called it the S-bum defense. And I never did criminal, but like if some yokel flipped an ATV and lost his legs and we knew that we were totally good for it, because we had designed a bad product, you'd have to go for the S-bum defense, which is, yeah, but what about this guy? And then you would just list everything bad about him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It was terrible.
Yeah. Do you think that changed, the dynamic changed, just because we've learned more about it? Like, we know that it's a tactic more? I mean, with all the TV procedurals and all the stuff that's getting written out there now that you see court TV. Yeah. Like, do you think we just, like, juries understand better that that's what's happening?
That's what I was going to say, is maybe juries are just more aware of that kind of thing and more discerning.
Well, in the first couple segments, we were talking about racism and have we really, truly evolved or have we just learned to shut our mouth? And I do think that what we're talking about right now, the way that victim blaming has gone by the wayside, is no longer as nearly as effective, I think shows that as a people, we have evolved.
Yeah.
There are still some troglodytes out there who are just holding on to all the bad stuff. But in general, I think we squint harder at those kind of defenses and those sort of arguments. Mm-hmm. Like, really?
I wonder if it is because we feel like we know more about the legal system than we actually do and that we did before. Like, I think there is some truth to just the general public that would end up on juries. You do know more about it than, say, you might have 30 or 40 years ago. And it's not to say that you didn't have, like, Law and Order way back when it first started, or was L.A. Law. Like, you'd still see some. But, like, with all of those and then the true crime shows and court TV and all, I think we've just been exposed to it. So we at least think we understand it.
The trial of the century, O.J. Simpson, had it taken place 10 years later, certainly in 2025, he's found guilty 100 times out of 100.
Yes.
But back then, DNA was, like, really new and, you know, well, what about this additive? And doesn't that mean that this and this? And it gave the jury something to hang their hat on. Now you'd be decimated with that defense.
Right.
Because we understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the space of a couple of decades.
Yep. And then 20 years before it, we would never have watched it play out. We wouldn't have watched it play out. It would have just been something you read about in the newspaper.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very true.
Did you guys see that Kanye West showed up to the Sean Combs
trial?
Yeah, I
did.
Man.
They didn't let him in or something like that?
I feel like he did. He was able to go sit inside, but it's like, dude, what is wrong? Like, I mean, I've asked this question of him a million times, but what is wrong with you?
It's one good thing. One thing I'm thankful for in my life, I've done many things that I regret, many bad things, but they have been aberrations. That guy must just sit around all day thinking of effed up things he can do. Like, he just does them so often. He must just sit around thinking, like, Hitler, I could do that. KKK, that'd be a good one. Pointy hat, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, he sure seems to be taking the brand that I'm just going to do whatever the most controversial thing is.
Yeah. All right, quick break. Right back. DGS. Happy Wednesday. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. So, one of the most fun games last night. I watched it at home. I had tickets, but I gave them to Nick, and they had a blast. And just like, it just had everything.
These two games have both been pretty great.
Great series.
A lot
so
more
far.
Drama last night, right? It was a lot more close, a lot closer competition. But first of all, two-run homers are great. Cardinals have 6 2-run homers in two games, so two-run homers are great. But it was also really fun to see, like, small things come into play too, right? Pete Crow Armstrong forgetting how many outs there are.
Dude, he looked like he was going to cry or throw up.
Well, He probably should have done both because he cost his team a run and they lost by one run. Mm-hmm. And that's just a brain fart that can't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of thing you get yelled at for as a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
You'd be running for that as a 12-year-old. It's number one, number two rules. Know the outs. Know where you're going to throw the ball. Know what the outs are. So that was a big part of it. And the Cardinals are typically better than most teams at those things, right? Mm-hmm. They're a good base running team, good defensive team. And then, I don't know that it came across. Did it to you how difficult that play that Arenado made last night to end the game was?
Yes, it did.
I mean, that is such a hard play because it's a slow hit ball.
And you have a guy right next to you.
You've got a guy coming right up on you who's clearly trying to distract you.
Yes.
Now, he can't run into you because if he does, then the runner's out and it's all over. So you have that confidence. But then he gets kind of a weird hop and barehands it.
Yes.
And if he had caught it with his glove, the runner might have been safe. But because he barehanded the high hop and was able to just go right from that into the throw and then throws a laser across the diamond off balance, just moving like that. That is such a Hall of Fame play. That is so hard to do. So hard to do, especially with that guy bearing right down on you. So good win. And look, you're 2.5 games out of first place halfway through the season. It's not exactly half. It's what, 70? It's 80 games now. So today is the halfway point.
Yes.
So you're in it. No matter how these next 2 days go, you are not falling further back from the Cubs.
Why are there 4 games this series against the Cubs?
Randomness.
Yeah, I thought that was odd.
Just randomness. Because they play 13 times, so there's going to be a kind of a weird number in there somewhere, whether it's a 2 or a 4, depending on how they lay out the schedules. So, yeah, it's a little bit unusual. You'll get some of those. Like there'll be a few of them over the course of the year, but mostly 3 is the number.
Do you miss the old school way of playing, like all the divisional play?
You mean like more games in the division?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I miss it. I miss part of it, right? Because you did have more time to build up really good rivalries when you played each other 19 times. And that made the division mean more. But it also made wild card races wildly unfair because you weren't playing everybody. So a team in your division might have a tougher schedule than a team in the East, or the other way around. I mean, it was harder to get everybody playing a similar schedule. And now that everybody plays everybody, it's at least much more fair in that regard. So you're not going to be penalized because of circumstance that are just basically random luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get, I understand missing the extra rivalry games and missing more games in the division, but you know there are as many wild cards as division winners right now, and the best way to keep it fair is to have everybody play the same level of schedule.
Who's pitching the next couple of nights?
So Eric Fetty is going tonight. So he's been good, man. I mean, he had a little rough patch there, but he's another one like Michaelis that after the rough patch kind of figured out. So Fetty tonight and then Palante tomorrow. And then the Cubs, you've got a couple good ones. The Cubs, you got lefties the next couple days. You got Boyd today, who's been really good, and Imanaga coming off the injured list tomorrow.
Anytime it's Fetty or Michaelis, I have the same feeling in my stomach when I'm getting on a plane during a storm. I'm probably going to be okay, but it's going to be a rough ride.
It has that potential because neither one of them strikes people out. You know, so when you do allow the ball in play, there's just less room for error. I mean, there are more opportunities for it to find a hole. There are more chances that single turns into a double, or if you leave that one pitch up, it's a home run instead of a single. So, you know, they're both near the bottom of Major League Baseball in strikeout rate, which is probably why it feels that way. And for Fetty, you know, his numbers aren't bad. I mean, he's got a 3.54 ERA. Now, his expected numbers are worse than that, which means the quality of contact he's allowing suggests he's been a little lucky, probably benefiting from the Cardinals being a strong defensive team.
How do they judge those things?
Which things?
Like, for example,
the expected ERA, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
So that'll be based on, like, the historical data on how hard a ball is hit, at what angle it leaves the bat, where it's headed. So, like, a line drive to left center field will be a hit 90% of the time.
It makes me that tired factors, that they keep all that.
They don't really. I mean, it's just automatic at this point. Nobody has to track it. It's just kind of pulled from the data. The data is just downloaded every single day from the stuff that's gathered at every ballpark. But it is helpful. So, like, when you see, you know, the catch probabilities, for example, you'll see Victor Scott make a play, and they'll be like, that's a 10% catch probability, which means out of all the thousands of examples that they've recorded over time of the ball hit at that speed, at that angle, in that spot, only 10% of them get caught. And it tells you about the quality of the play. And then that kind of data is moved into the expected numbers, which would say, okay, your ERA is 3.60, but it's expected 4 because you've gotten some good defensive plays behind you. And it can be the other way around, too. You could have bad luck, and your expected would be a little lower than your actual. And when they're about the same, it tells you the kind of the same story. So, you know, what you're seeing with Fetty and Michaelis isn't off. They both have been a little on the lucky side in terms of ERA. And again, I think it's all, you know, you're a little bit more dependent upon luck when you pitch to contact.